We are broadcasting this week out of Los Angeles, and so we have asked commentator John Ridley to join us every day this week and show us around his L.A.
It's my L.A., Renee.
Well, it definitely yours is a particular and peculiar Los Angeles.
It is. Actually, they
peculiar
won't let me,
to you.
It's peculiar. They won't let me show you around my L.A. in particular. They had some problem because it's apparently a family show. So we're sort of doing the G-rated version of my L.A. But you know what? My L.A. is one of the things I love about L.A. and hate about L.A. It's driving in L.A. When I came out here, it's such a car culture. I thought it'd be a great place to own a car and have a car. But the problem is there are too many people on the roads trying to get too many places all at the same time. I love cars. I'm actually a car aficionado. You know what my car of choice is? I drive a 1966 Mustang 289 convertible, teal with a two-tone teal pony interior. But you can't drive it on the road. So when you're a car aficionado, what do you do? Where do you go? I actually found a place here in the city. It's called the Peterson Automotive Museum. It's a museum completely dedicated to historic and classic automobiles. So I went down there to have a look, and I met the museum director, Dick Messer, who is a rarity in the city, actually, a lifelong Angeleno, born and raised here. And as we were talking, he told me that traffic here in Los Angeles in the new millennium is completely different than it was when he was growing up as a kid.
Well, it was very interesting. I'll never forget it. It's vivid in my mind right now. So we would head west towards Santa Monica, and Santa Monica was the beach. We drove out through on Wilshire Boulevard or Olympic Boulevard, which are major thoroughfares today, to Santa Monica, and then went to the beach and spent all day at the beach, and then we drive home. And the traffic wasn't a problem. There's no city in the world that depended on the automobile for its layout and its future like Los Angeles did. L.A. just kind of spread out. It was almost like waffle batter. You know, you lay it on the griddle and it just kind of just lays on out there. That's how L.A. went, but it was the automobile that really generated this kind of situation.
Let me ask you a question now. What constitutes a museum quality car? Is it the person who owned it? Is it the history of the car? Is it the uniqueness of the car? When the museum is looking for cars, what are they looking for?
It's all of that. It's all of that. You look for the heritage, basically, on the automobile.
Do you have any vehicles from any National Public Radio people? Are they? They're probably worth a lot of dough.
Bring one in, and we'll do an exhibit, an NPR exhibit. But I don't know what we'd be looking at there.
Just a lot of AM radios is what you'd be looking at. Could a guy like me? Could I get a car in the museum?
Yeah, possibly, sure. We have a garage that we put different cars in. You know, the
garage. You're saying to me is I could just park. Is basically what you're saying. I could drive up and park and pay $5.
Well, everybody's welcome. Let's put it that way.
Can we go look at some of these cars?
I'd love to.
Let's go look at some of these cars.
We looked at so many cars that day. They've got everything down there, from the original Batmobile to Frank Zappa's Rolls Royce. Too many to describe in detail today. But there was one exhibit that Dick Messer showed me that was particularly eye-catching. Three supercars all in a row. A Dodge Viper, a nice mustard yellow twin supercharged Lamborghini, and a Ferrari 512. Now, looking at all those cars in a row, I had to ask Dick a serious journalistic question.
Out of these three supercars, which one is the biggest babe magnet?
Probably the Lamborghini.
We have a mustard yellow. Sort of a targa top Lamborghini. I'm taking this out. I could actually meet chicks in L.A.
I've had chicks here, and when you tell them, "Oh yeah, I've driven that car," they go, "When can we get together for lunch?" I mean, and I'm not the world's most attractive guy,
oh,
you know.
You're a very handsome man.
And I can tell you,
it's the car.
It's the car. It's the car. I'm telling you, it's the car. And I love it. Of course, and then we make the date right away, and I show up in my 72 Pinto, you know.
Sure, then things change.
That's right.
I would tell you, if you showed up at my house, I would date you in that car. That is an impressive vehicle.
That's the deal. I mean, that's what's fun about that. But I'd say, yeah, the color and everything with Lamborghini. Although the Ferrari also is a close second.
Let me ask you one last question. If somebody came along and said, look, Dick, there's only one car out of this whole museum, out of your personal collection or what have you, that you could drive. Is there one car where if you could have it, it would be, yeah, that's my car?
No, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't even start to think about it. It's just too difficult. And they all have personalities. And I'll admit something to you right here on the air. I talk to my cars. And I really do believe that over a period of time, a car you have as a collectible car does develop a soul. You can't say, well, I love this car over this car. And my biggest problem is the reason I have over a dozen automobiles is I can't sell one.
People say, well, do you trade, do you buy? And I go, no. I mean, these are cars that I own that I love to have, and I can't part with any of them. They're part of me.
Dick Messer of the Peterson Automotive Museum. You know, with a billion people here in Los Angeles, there's got to be a better way to get around. And most people don't realize that there is. L.A. actually has a subway system. I recently went down there with Ed Scannell of L.A. Metro Rail, and he told me that the high price of gasoline is affecting ridership.
The month of May, we saw an increase from April to May of about 9,000 riders, average weekday boardings. That's a sizable jump for us, particularly in sheer numbers. I mean, percentage-wise, it's a good increase, but that's the largest numerical increase that we've seen since the Red Line opened up. It's no coincidence that we would see that kind of increase given the gas prices. I think a lot of people have gotten tired of paying those prices. They've looked at their other options that they could avail themselves of, and certainly this was a good one for many people.
The thing is, there are a lot of people on the East Coast who are listening to this, and they're probably shaking their heads going, what's the big deal? I ride the train, I ride the bus. Out here in California, the car, especially in Southern California, Los Angeles, the car, it's more than just a way to get around. It is who you are, it's what you're about. How hard is it to get people to realize that there is another way?
While I think there's some people that you will never, whose minds you will never change, there are many others who are so close to making the choice to step off that car and step into a train. I think a very good example of that is the end of the Red Line in North Hollywood. We have two parking lots, and they combined have 1,100 spaces. If you don't get to that parking lot by about 8:15, 8:30 in the morning, forget it. There's no parking spaces left.
I think one thing about this system is we've been standing down here in this station for maybe 15 minutes or so. The air, it's very clean. We've had a couple of trains go through. There's no foul air or anything like that. I'm used to riding the subway in New York. Are you thinking about importing a kind of a foul stink just to make people like me feel more at home?
You know, John, we'll do anything to accommodate you.
Wow, you're the first. I'm definitely going to be a rider. The system is doing well, but you said yourself, chances are we're not going to get everybody out of their cars. L.A. continues to grow. We get tens of thousands of new citizens all the time. What's the future of L.A.?
I think the future is pretty dismal. There is a crush of traffic here, and it's going to get worse. We can only hope to try to hold that off, to hold it at bay, and to come up with other solutions.
Ed, you're scaring me. A lot of ways, I'm really going to cry in a minute. I don't want to live here anymore. Do you think about walling off the city? Would that be? I mean, guys like you and me, we're already here, so it's cool. I mean, seriously.
Hey, between you and me, bud, we'll do it, okay?
That was L.A. Metro Rail's Ed Scannell.
John Ridley, I gather we are taking a trip tomorrow to Resurrection Boulevard.
Resurrection Boulevard. It's not a destination here in Los Angeles. It's actually a TV show that's done out here. Interestingly enough, it is also the only primetime series right now that features Latino actors as central characters in the program. But we're not going to meet with the actors or the directors or the writers. We're going to meet with the people who are known in the Hollywood parlance as below-the-line individuals. And we'll find out what that means tomorrow.